Well, as you may have picked up already, I'd like to say a few things about light and about seeing and about illumination. But before I do, I think it's worth noting that there are a number of levels on which this is operating in our readings today. We're not just talking about physical light or physical sight, obviously. I mean, when Jesus heals this blind person, or anyone who's blind, he heals a few people who are blind, he's not just curing their physical defect. He's offering them spiritual sight as well. The physical is important, but what I want to talk about and focus on is spiritual light, spiritual seeing, spiritual illumination. And there's no better story to get us into this than the one in John chapter 9. Pay particular attention, I hope you did, when Bob was reading it well, to the questions that everyone asks. Jesus and his disciples are walking along and they see a man who's blind since birth, has never had physical sight. And the first question gets asked by the disciples, whose fault is this? It must be someone's fault. Something bad happens, someone must be at fault. In this case, it must be either the blind man or his parents. They must have done something wrong. But notice Jesus says, get away from that kind of thinking. No one did anything wrong here, but we have encountered this blind man today so that God's goodness and God's glory might be revealed. It's no one's fault. Things happen. There's blindness in the world, there is suffering, there's tragedy. It's no one's fault, but out of it can come signs of God's goodness and glory. And so Jesus heals the blind man. Another interesting aspect of the story is we get the slightly disgusting details of how Jesus does this. There's dirt. He spits in it, makes mud, and smears it on the man's eyes, and then says, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." And before you ask, well, how was the man able to find the pool with mud all over his eyes? Remember, he's blind. He knows how to find his way around. So he goes to the pool, and when he washes the mud off, he can see. Can you imagine? He's been blind since birth, and now he sees. Can you imagine how happy he is? He wants to tell everyone. He wants everyone to join in the party. Come to my house. I'm having a party. I was blind and now I see. And then he starts encountering his friends and family. And instead of being joyful for him, they start asking the questions. First of all, there's dispute whether it's even the same guy. Is that the blind man? Nah, it's just someone who looks like him. Isn't it interesting, in a story about seeing, these people can't even recognize this man that they've seen every day. Maybe a reminder to us how we put people in such distinct boxes that it's hard to see them otherwise. I've had this experience before. I remember running into one of the kids from the preschool here at Ingalls with his mother. And I said, "Hi." And he kind of looked at me. Funny. He was only used to seeing me here, you know. It's almost like they let you out of the church. Yeah, but so the people were so used to this man being the blind man, the blind beggar, that when they see him, his appearance hasn't changed, but they can't even imagine it's the same person because he's no longer fitting in that little box that they've always put him in, the blind man. They can't see him. Nah, it's just someone who looks like him. And then the real question begins. At every point in the story, family, friends, the Pharisees, the question comes, how did this happen? How did Jesus do this? And the man tells him, look, Jesus made mud, put it on my eyes, I washed, and I can see. Yeah, but how did it happen? We want the scientific explanation. Well, there's no proof that the retinal muscle can be cured by simply putting mud on the outside of the eyes. The nerves must be... No. Who cares? I mean, imagine the blind man's like, I don't care how it happened. I just know it happened. Here's what I know. I was blind, now I see. Yeah, but how? Maybe another reminder to us that we often get caught up in the how questions, the process, the details. Yeah, how did it happen? And thus, I think we often miss the miracles by always wanting to know the how. Just a quick story. There was my previous church, I won't go into all the background, there was a young couple whose parents were in the church. This young couple had been trying to have a baby for a long time. Finally, after years of trying, they have their first child, and within a few days, the baby was diagnosed with a tumor, a malignant tumor, and the family, of course, is crushed. And we started the prayers going. And that very next week, they said, well, they found this tumor on a scan. They're going to do further tests next week. The next week, they went to do the tests. No tumor. Now, I'm sure there were some who would have said, oh, well, they misread the first scan. Maybe. I like to think there was a tumor and now there was none. I was blind, now I see. I was in prison, now I am freed. I was dead, now I am alive. Well, how? I don't know how. All I know is it happened. That's what the blind man keeps saying. I don't know how, but I was blind and now I see. And not only do I see physically, notice he also sees who Jesus is. Jesus finds him and says, do you believe in the Messiah, the human one? Man says, who is that? Jesus says, it's the one talking to you. And the man says, I believe. I was blind and now I see, I believe. This is faith. Not, how did it happen? Well, how did Jesus do that? What were the mechanics of it, the details, the scientific data? No, I don't know. But I was blind and now I see, and how could that happen except by faith? But the Pharisees and others can't put that in their little box. It doesn't fit. Nah. And it happened on a Sabbath? Man must be a sinner. Yeah, but I was blind and now I see. Yeah, but it happened on this particular day and we don't know how it happened. Man just wants to have a party to celebrate that he was blind and now he sees. His life has changed forever. And all he gets is questions and complaints and grumbling and disbelief. And then the little coda at the end of this story is the Pharisees who come to Jesus and say, you're talking about seeing and all this. We're not blind, are we? Now, that's a little akin to asking something like, well, I'm not a racist, am I? If you have to ask, of course they're blind. They're blinded by their own inability to see. Spiritually. Jesus is right there. He's performing miracles and they can't see it. A blind man can see, but they can't see it. They won't allow themselves to see it. And that's when Jesus says, you know, I came for the blind. If you think you already see, you don't have any use for me. If you think you know it all already, you have no use for me. If you think you've got all the answers, if you think everything fits in your little box, I can't help you. I came for those who are sick and blind and know it. I mean, for example, you have no reason to call Chad's office if you don't know you're sick. If you're perfectly healthy, why would you call the doctor? I mean, except maybe to say hello. Chad's a nice guy. You might call just to say, hey, how you doing? But you don't make an appointment if you're not sick. What good is a doctor if you don't know you're sick? But if you wake up and say, oh, I feel lousy today, I'm going to call Chad and go in and see if he can help me. Yeah. If you don't know you're sick, you don't need a physician. If you don't know you're blind, you don't need to be seen, to be cured. And this gets us to Lent, which is all about recognizing our own blindness. None of us sees perfectly. At best, as Paul says, in this life we might see dimly. We're all sick. We're all blind spiritually. That's what Lent is about, recognizing it. Because if you don't know you're sick or blind, you don't need Jesus. But if you do, not only do you know you need Jesus and know he's the one you need, you can rejoice and celebrate, regardless of not knowing all the how answers. Jesus is the light that allows us to see. That's what Paul's telling the Ephesians. Jesus is the light. What do you need to see? You need working eyes and light. And what does the light do? It reveals the truth. The light of Jesus reveals truth. What is the truth? Goodness, justice. And Paul even tells the Ephesians, if you want to be sure you're seeing clearly, I'm paraphrasing slightly what Paul is saying, if you want to be sure you're seeing clearly, judge everything you say and do by this question: is this pleasing to God? That's the perspective that comes with the light of truth. Is this pleasing to God? Now, some of the times we realize after the fact, oh, that wasn't pleasing to God. That's when we ask for forgiveness and this cycle starts again. Forgive me, I didn't see clearly. That's all right. That's why I came, to help you in your blindness. I want to end with this. I just came across this week in reading. It's from the Christian Century magazine a couple weeks ago. It's a quote from Frederick Buechner. Some of you may know of Buechner and his writings. He's talking about loving the enemy, but notice how he talks about it. Quote, "But when you see as clearly as that who your enemies are, at least you see your enemies clearly too. Seeing what is hateful about them, you may catch a glimpse also of where the hatefulness comes from. Seeing the hurt they cause you, you may see also the hurt they cause themselves. You're still light years away from loving them, to be sure, but at least you see how they are human, even as you are human." Interesting, tying seeing to love as well. Friends, I think part of the call for us, particularly in Lent, is to see better, to see ourselves and see our own blindness, but to also see clearly or even dimly the cure of Easter. Friends, this week, go out into the world and see. Look with the light of Christ and see if certain parts of the world look a little different. Amen.